Each time, Patrick became convinced that the next time would kill him, someone would happen by. Just lately, Patrick had been spared the worst of Dandolo's depredations because company had been more frequent than ever before. Roland told her later that night, after they'd bedded down in the hayloft, that he believed many of Dandolo's most recent victims must have been exiles fleeing either from Lacasse Roy-Rousse or the town around it. Susanna could certainly sympathize with the thinking of such refugees. The king is gone, so let's get the hell out of here while the getting's good. After all, Big Red might take it into his head to come back, and he's off his chump, round the bend, possessed of an elevator that no longer goes to the top floor. On some occasions, Joe had assumed his true Dandolo form in front of his prisoner, then had eaten the boy's resulting terror. But he had wanted much more than terror from his captive cow. Susanna guessed that different emotions must produce different flavors, like having pork one day, chicken the next, and fish the day after that. Patrick couldn't talk, but he could gesture. And he could do more than that once Roland showed them a queer find he'd come upon in the pantry. On one of the highest shelves was a stack of oversized drawing pads marked Michelangelo, Fine for Charcoal. They had no charcoal, but near the pads was a clutch of brand new Eberhard Faber No. 2 pencils held together by a rubber band. What qualified the find as especially queer was the fact that someone, presumably Dandolo, had carefully cut the eraser off the top of each pencil. These were stored in a canning jar next to the pencils, along with a few paper clips and a pencil sharpener that looked like the whistles on the undersides of the few remaining Oriza plates from Colubrin Sturgis. When Patrick saw the pads, his ordinarily dull eyes lit up, and he stretched both hands longingly toward them, making urgent hooting sounds.